This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Michael Lombardi.
You couldn't get me to buy Mitchell Trubisky if you had him at a discount rack at Seeley's basement.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider.
Now, everybody's going to bitch about Nagy not going over there early and all that, but this loss is not on the fact that MVP Mitch wasn't there. This is all on their defense. Their defense couldn't get off the field on third down.
Looking at the league from a front office perspective.
They can't run the ball. I mean, they're showing you who they are, and even if MVP Mitch, when he comes back, if they don't get a stellar performance from their defense, if they have one of these days with their defense where their defense gives up almost 400 yards and they're 50% on third down, they're not very good. I thought their defense was better than this, and the Raiders and John did a great job exposing it.
Michael Lombardi, every Wednesday with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score. The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. On the line, we have Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. You can listen to him on his podcast, The GM Shuffle, available on radio.com or wherever you get your podcast. As always, insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at indeed.com/hire. Michael, thank you for joining us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal.
Morning, Michael.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Well, I got to tell you, we're still trying to figure out what the heck happened to the Bears in London. But you put this down perfectly in your column in The Athletic. I thought this sentence captured exactly what happened in the game. I still don't know how it happened, but you wrote, "The Raiders won because their offense was better than the Bears' defense on this day." Hats off to John Gruden. We saw the Bears absolutely demolish the Vikings by beating them physically, pounding them, and then they go to London and the exact same thing happens to them. They are steamrolled by a run game that surely they must have seen coming.
Yeah, I mean, that was the key to the game, right? We talked about a first down. That's where the Raiders win games. I mean, the Raiders can't get in the third and 12 and convert. I mean, we knew this going in. I mean, look, Carr's going to check the ball down as much as anybody. They don't have a receiver that they can throw the ball to vertically, especially with Williams being out. But to allow 169 yards rushing to a team that needed to run the ball, you know, and is really on their defense. I mean, you score 21 points in a game, which the Bears scored, and, you know, you feel like the way you play defense, you know, that's going to win games. But I think the underlying factor here, too, is, and this is going to manifest itself as we move forward, as great as the Bears' defense can play, and we've seen them play better than they did in London, it still comes down to playing less defense, right? So the opening game, they played 31 minutes of defense, right? They lost. The second game of the season, they played 33 minutes of defense, and they should have lost. I mean, it took a miraculous call and kick to win. Week three, they played 28. Week four, they played 24. And then they played almost 35 minutes over in London. You can't play that long of defense. You've got to be able to control the football. And when you can't get off the field on third down and you let the opponent have 50% conversions, you're going to lose.
That's a great point, Mike. I think when you talk about the Bears' inability to run the football, it maybe all starts there in terms of possessing the ball and moving the chains. But when you look at the way the Raiders attacked the Bears' defense and they ran the ball effectively and they neutralized Khalil Mack to a large degree, you know, the Bears are only going to play tougher opponents from here on out. I mean, they have the toughest schedule in the NFL, the remaining 11 games, based on the statistics and then the research by Mike Sando and The Athletic. How the Raiders blocked Khalil Mack, could that be instructive to other teams left on the Bears' schedule? Was there something to be learned from this for future opponents of the Bears?
Well, I think what they did was, is most what the Raiders do all the time is they run the outside zone and they cut off the backside. And when the Hicks got hurt, I think that really manifested itself into a, you know, another issue and a problem. And they were quicker. They were off the ball. They played at a different level. And I think a lot of it isn't really scheme related. A lot of it was intensity related. They didn't match the intensity of the Raiders. you know, whether it was because they went over too early or too late. I don't think that's the answer. I think they just got off the ball. And then I think that they really have to do a self-analysis of how can they run the football better. I mean, even when MVP Mitch comes back, they've got to be able to run the football, right? And so they've had three games this year where they've had almost – they had the Packer game, they averaged 3 yards a carry. The Minnesota game, they averaged 2.1 yards a carry. Against Oakland, it was 2.47. Their best game was against Denver at 5.28. And really, the Redskins game, they only averaged 3.75 in that game. They've got to figure out a way to run the ball better. And it can't just be sideways and out of shotgun. It's got to be some physicality. And I think the Raiders taught them that lesson, and maybe it's something to work on.
It's fascinating to see where the Bears are at because, again, you know, the bye week now gives us an extra time to kind of criticize and to pick apart what they're doing. But it seems fairly obvious that part of their problem in running the ball, part of their problem with offense generally speaking, and their numbers, Michael, are absolutely horrific. I mean, this is a team that there are 32 teams in this league, and four of them are winless. And the Bears offense ranks 31st in explosive run rate. They rank 30th in yards per play, explosive play rate 30th, points per drive 29th. I mean, we can go on and on. It's they are in the bottom of the league. And, you know, we got a Tua Bowl going on this week with Washington against Miami. And how can the Bears be this bad if they have an offensive-minded coach, if they've spent the kind of money they have on their line, on their certainly the tight end position has done nothing. You look at the receiving core, everything, the weaponry they have, they're just not using it, and they can't use it. And I understand part of that's the quarterback, but it is confounding that they're this bad on offense.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a concern. I think that they have to kind of come off the football, right? Everything is tricks, everything's sideways, everything, we're going to be deceptive. It's all creativity. Here we're going. And I think at some point, you know, you just got to line up and say, here we come, fellas. You know, and when they're in two back, when they're in two receivers, when they're in a base formation, they average less than 2 yards a carry. When they're in two receivers with a tight end on the field and two backs, they average 2 yards a carry. When they go to three receivers, which is supposed to be where they dominate the game because they're a spread attack team, they average 3.5 and the long run's 14. So they're going to have to figure this out, and it's going to come with real good planning, and they're going to have to really adjust to it. Because when they're in shotgun, they can't run the ball. They average 3.3 yards a carry in shotgun, and their longest gain so far this year is 9 yards. What does that tell you? That tells you you're not doing very good, right? You got to figure something out. And the teams that win and make a difference in December are the teams that adjust in October. And they need to adjust, and they need to come off the football. Like this sideways and deception and all that, it ain't going to work. You got to get tough and nasty. Because remember, fellas, we play in Chicago. It's Soldier freaking Field. It's windy. It's going to be bad weather. We're going to have to dominate the line of scrimmage at some point. And the good teams can get 4 yards when they need 4 yards because they can run it. And the Raiders just showed them over in London what it's all about.
Mike, in your experience, how does an offensive line improve during the course of a season? Or is what you see is what you get moving forward?
No, I think you can definitely improve. I think there's no doubt you can improve. I think you just got to keep working at it, and I think you got to emphasize it. I mean, you become what you want to be, right? If you want to be a sideways offense, you become a sideways offense. If you want to go forward, you go forward. I mean, you have to become what you want to become. So I think that's critical, and I think you can get better. It's going to take, you only get one day of pads a week. You only have 14 overall. But in those 14 days in pads, you got to get much better, and you've got to work at it, and you've got to really come off the ball, and it's got to be done with constant attention and physicality in practice, and you've got to work at it. I mean, you can get better. I mean, look at the Patriots last year; they got much better what they did.
I really enjoyed your column on Daniel Snyder and the way that, you know, I don't think we pay enough attention sometimes to how ownership affects franchises, and certainly the effect he's had with the amount of turnover and the number of people going back and forth. Now they're talking about making a trade for the coach. Now if they end up losing, who knows? They might end up doing the same thing that Arizona did, and Dwayne Haskins could be this year's version of Josh Rosen next year. What is it like when you don't have a plan? I mean, doesn't good ownership, the best ownership is the old joke is, belongs in Green Bay where they have no owner. It's just everybody, and you're allowed to do what you want to do.
Well, I think, you know, the problem is most owners, you know, it's funny. All these owners are billionaires. You know, they've made money doing running a business, and yet when they buy a football team, they decide they're not going to run it the way they've run their business, right? They decide something differently. And that's what I wrote the book about. Gridiron Genius really is about culture. Gridiron Genius is about how the Patriots really have built an organization that's sustainable, right? Everybody has solution-based organizations today in the NFL. And what that means is every decision you make solves the problem today and forget about tomorrow. The Steelers trade a first-round pick for Minka Fitzpatrick to the Miami Dolphins. That solves their problem at free safety today. Is that sustainable? Because that pick could be a lottery pick. That pick could be a quarterback to replace Ben Roethlisberger. Did somebody think about that in their building? Typically, they do in Pittsburgh, but this time they didn't. So most organizations are solution-based. The great ones are sustainable-based, meaning the decision we make today impacts our team today, tomorrow, and the future, and how we're building this team. And we're going to develop talent from within. Here's the fascinating thing. People say, well, Lombardi, you're just a Patriot lover. Yeah, I work there, but I've been inside the building. I've known Belichick since 1991. I know how he thinks. People think he was influenced by Bill Parcells. He was really influenced by Joe Gibbs and Joe Gibbs' ability to develop talent. The Patriots on defense today currently only have two players that anybody else in the league wanted, Devin McCourty and Stephon Gilmore. Everybody else was on the street. They have three of their starters from the Cleveland Browns, Jamie Collins, Danny Shelton, and Jason McCourty. So it's about player development. It's about how do you get your team better during the season, and that's organizational. That means you got to practice harder. That means you got to hold players accountable. That means you're going to have to fire players. That means you're going to have to demand things from players. And I think we're in an era of football right now where that's obsolete. We've got too many sports scientists, they call them, that don't want to condition a team. Because of my book, I've spent more time with basketball coaches than football coaches. My book is popular with basketball coaches. You know, their biggest complaint is sports scientists don't let them condition their team. They're always talking about rest. They're always talking about that. That's the problem. How do you develop mental toughness in your team if you can't practice?
Right. That's a huge
and
problem.
I think this is the core issue going on. Washington has no chance to win. They have no chance. As Bill Walsh would have told you, don't even pay attention to them. They have no chance. They're 30 miles from even competing at a chance. They're so far out of the race, they actually think they're leading. It's ridiculous, and they'll never win there. And until he decides to change his culture and his behavior, there's no magic wand he's going to wave on that team.
Great stuff, Mike.
Great, Michael. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
That, of course, is Michael Lombardi. Really interesting stuff. Got to get that book. I haven't read it yet. Michael Lombardi, he's the Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, and Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Thank you, Michael. Listen to Michael Lombardi and on his podcast, The GM Shuffle, available on radio.com or wherever you get.
And what he's saying about developing players, that goes back to also your preseason approach. I hate to beat a dead horse, but when you look at the struggles with the offensive line, it's not just the quarterback
and
receivers.
Shouldn't this have been figured out before you got to this point in the season?
Well, the preseason could have been helpful for an offensive line before they go into game speed and having things happen to them and not be in sync. That also is showing right now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.